Hi, Scott and John here.
Yeah, folks, the world is fast approaching the end game, and we are trying to expose the upcoming deception before time runs out. We want to make this a full-time goal, and we need your support to fight the satanic global elite.
So here's how you can help. Subscribe to the new Bible Mysteries Premium Podcast to listen to every episode ad-free, plus get full access to our special guest interviews and special events, downloadable show notes, our Bible Mysteries monthly newsletter, and access to a new community forum.
Sure. So just go to BibleMysteries.Supercast.com, or you can click the link in the show notes to get started today.
Thanks again.
Welcome to Bible Mysteries. What if there are secrets in the Bible the world doesn't want you to know? You're listening to episode 192, America in Prophecy. Now here are your hosts, Scott and John.
Hello and welcome once again to Bible Mysteries Podcast. I'm Scott Mitchell.
I'm John Potts, and this is the show that talks about things in the Bible the world doesn't want you to know.
And we're going to pick on America today, John.
Uh-oh. Yeah. That's not very American.
No, yeah, it's not.
Anti-American.
We're anti-American today.
It's not very patriotic to pick on America.
Well, this week is going to be the 4th of July.
Okay.
So it seemed like the proper time to talk about America in prophecy.
Oh, wow.
So okay. I've been asking, people have been asking about that. And so I thought, well, I've looked and I've searched and I'm going to reveal what we found.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Yeah. Well, that's fine. Let's hear about it.
Yeah, the word America doesn't appear in the Bible, but does America appear somehow in a form in the Bible?
Okay.
That's what we're going to dig into today.
Okay.
So why don't we start off by thanking some of our latest seekers.
So this episode is brought to us by the following Bible Mysteries Premium subscribers, what we call seekers, and they are Jay Boyd, Gerhardt Moritz, Tyler Page, Christopher Johnson, and Sherry Simmons. And they all became seekers in March and April of 2024.
Awesome.
Some tough names in there.
Yeah, I'm impressed with you on the Gerhardt. That was good.
Gerhardt Moritz, yeah.
You did that without
By the way, folks, I don't get to review these names before reading them. Scott just throws them up on a screen in front of me, and this time he went back and forth between two of them screens to confuse me. So,
well, that's my job, to try to confuse you. So, no, in all seriousness, folks, all of you that have subscribed, Jay, Gerhardt, Tyler, Christopher, and Cher, we appreciate you more than you know. Because of you, we're able to continue to provide this content. We're trying to grow our subscribers. We're still hovering right around the same number.
Yeah.
We seem to have reached a plateau. I'm not sure what it's going to take to push it over the edge, but we're
people
hoping.
Have to feel it on their hearts. I mean, one thing is to share the podcast because we want the message to get out there.
Yeah.
The other thing is to support the podcast financially, right? It's the same as buying a cup of coffee from Starbucks, and you don't want to do that because you see all the satanic imagery all over their logo and everything else. But anyways, you do want to support
a truly American company, right?
You do want to support the podcast because it helped. By the way, it's a nonprofit organization. We're not sitting here trying to make a buck, right?
Not at all.
But it is about getting the things in the Bible that you'll never hear about, or the things in the Bible that the world doesn't want you to know, out to folks. And you become a premium subscriber or a seeker, and then you can turn more people on and be a supporter.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm going to say something. I'm not going to say this to brag on you, John.
But can. Go ahead.
But I can. Is it okay? So John has tremendous business acumen, and I'm not going to discuss what you've done in the past, but you're definitely somebody that knows a thing or two about business. And quite frankly, if we were in this for a buck, I wouldn't do this podcast. I would go to John and say, hey, let's put our heads together, come up with a $1 million idea. And knowing John, we'd be able to succeed and make it very profitable. So that's not why we do what we do.
Well, I guarantee you, if we wanted to make $1 million, we wouldn't do a biblical podcast.
Yes, exactly. because there's one thing that's true is there's no money in the gospel. Now, there are people that are false prophets making a lot of money.
Oh, sure.
I'm not going to name any names, but, you know, there's plenty of prosperity gospel out there to convince people
well,
to
I
give
guess
up.
Well, I guess that would have been my answer if you said, hey, John, I want to make $1 million, but I want to do it being a Bible teacher. I'd say, Scott, your methods are all wrong, man.
That's true. So all of that to say, the Lord put it upon our hearts to do what we do, not because we're interested in making any kind of gain from this. I have a job, a full-time job, so does my wife. And she and I do the lion's share of all the promotion and editing and everything. You name it. It's her more than anything because I do the content. Yeah. So just so you'll know, there's much better ways to make money. So when you do support us, we want you to know how much we appreciate it because we try to keep everything we do out of these operating expenses from the podcast and from the ministry. We try our best not to draw from our own income, but sometimes we have to do that. But if we ever get to the point where it's self-sustaining, that's wonderful. And we praise God for anything that you would do to help us move that along. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, we're reaching people because of you. So, John, let's read some testimonials.
And I want to add to that real quick before I read a testimony. So if we did grow the subscribers or the seekers to a certain point, it's not to put money into the coffers. That money would be used to advertise more on social media to reach more people because it's about growing the amount of people that you reach, that you get the message to. That's what it would be used for.
Not only is that very true, but if anybody looks up regulations and rules about nonprofits, you don't make a profit. You don't carry over a profit. You have to spend that money.
Yeah.
So it has to go out. It's designated. That's why people don't use nonprofits to become rich unless they're wealthy money laundering philanthropy.
Well, that's like the
oligarchs.
That's like the Clintons. Yeah. So, anyways.
Yeah. They found a way to cheat the system, but we don't do that because we don't have that kind of operating capital to begin with. So the point is, we're here to what comes in goes into making the podcast better.
Yeah. Okay. So let's do some reviews. Mm-hmm. There's one in front of me here. So this comes from Brian McCoy. And Brian says, I've been listening to the podcast for over a year now. I'm all caught up and a subscriber now.
Thank you
very much. And it has gotten me back into church and studying my Bible. Praise God for that. And looking at it in a new way. Much like John, I have started to read my Bible from the beginning. And I was thinking as I'm reading it, where is God? It never says that he left the earth. Is he in another dimension? It just has me scratching my head. And when I asked my pastor, he was baffled as well. Could possibly be an episode or two, just food for thought, or I'm missing something. I definitely love the podcast, and I'm anxiously awaiting new episodes. Keep up the great work. Thank you very much, Brian. Great question.
Brian, thank you. And what an interesting question.
Yeah.
You know, that seems so basic, but at the same time, it's probably a fundamental. Where is God? You know, where is he located? And it's in the scriptures. It lets us know where he is. So maybe we should devote a podcast to something like that.
But
it's a good idea.
Isn't the quick answer that he's omnipresent? I mean, he's in heaven and he's also on earth.
Yeah, and what would be good is to get some clarity on what he really means by that, because it never says that he left the earth. So is he talking about when Jesus ascended up? Because he did leave the earth. But he may be talking about something else, which I think if with some clarity from Brian, we could probably hone it down into a better definition of what he's looking for, and we can make a podcast.
I mean, when I was reading that, what I gathered was he said that he, like myself, because I had gone all the way back to the book of Genesis and started reading through the very first book, the history of the Bible. And as God was leading the nation of Israel through the wilderness, he appeared to them as a pillar of fire, I think, as a whirlwind
and
at
a cloud.
One point.
Mm-hmm.
So his presence was seen there.
True.
So I'm thinking that's what Brian's saying. Hey, if he was in front of the nation, then did he ever leave?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what I'm deducting from that. So who knows?
Well, you're right about him being omnipresent, which means he's anywhere and everywhere at once. But he is located in the third heaven. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
And his throne is above all heavens. So we'll have to do a discussion about that. Good question.
Which, going back to the Sea of Glass, you did an episode way back when you and Zena were doing it, right? Called the Sea of Glass, which is about the throne of God.
That reminds me. As we're making changes and improvements to our Bible Mysteries Podcast website, I'm glad you said that, John. One of the things we're trying to do is revamp what is going to be contained in the bonus content for subscribers.
Okay.
And we've got plans to add some things coming up soon. We're talking about adding an extra episode once a month just for subscribers.
Okay,
and
cool.
Not to the regular public out there. We're also talking about doing a once-a-month live Q&A just for seekers as well.
Okay.
So we're talking about doing some things. And one of those things involves we're thinking about taking the first year of the podcast and making it an archive available to seekers, which would mean we'd be pulling the first X amount of number of episodes from the public domain. But we may want to go back and revisit some of those topics, you and I, since I did those with Zena from the beginning.
Yeah.
So we may want to talk about the Sea of Glass, the Frozen Deep, the world that was, and go over those notes again with you and I, especially since we may have gleaned and learned more from the scriptures since that time.
Absolutely. So, I know I have.
Yeah. So that'll be a fun thing to do. And it'll still give new listeners an opportunity to see the same topic covered by us. But for those that are our seekers, they'll be able to go back and see the originals with Zena and that kind of thing. So anyway, I'm glad you mentioned something like that, because we do want to let our seekers know we're tweaking your bonus content, always trying to make it worth your while.
I do love these questions and comments from people, though, because they bring up great topics. And maybe another thing to consider for you and Sandy, because y'all run the podcast, is that maybe taking a collection of topics that folks bring up and just doing one episode on answering questions. I don't know. I'm just throwing out ideas.
I think that's kind of what we're going to start doing. We up till now, we've been doing something called On the Patio videos, which are most of the time, they started out as listener questions, and then they kind of devolved into other topics that I did. But we want to get back to that. So we're going to continue to focus on the listener questions as much as we can.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this next comment comes to us from Karen Last. Karen says, I first heard of you a few years back on Coast to Coast with George Norrie, and I was instantly fascinated with what you were speaking about. As someone who has always been into UFOs and aliens, thanks to you, I now look at them through a complete biblical lens.
Wow, praise God.
I always felt something was, quote, off about the time traveler space brothers explanation, and wondered why they were so clandestine in their abductions. Why was our government so intent on hiding them? Great question.
Yeah.
It all makes sense to me now, and I have you and folks like L.A. Marzulli to thank.
Amen.
L.A. Marzulli is a great resource for all that. I very much look forward to your weekly podcast, and I've learned so much about what is written in the Bible and how it relates to events of today. I'm also fortunate to have a pastor who preaches a lot about prophecy and connects the dots with what is happening today.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is awesome,
and
because you don't hear about that a lot. So would love to hear what church that is.
Yeah.
If she wants to reach back
out,
Karen.
Maybe, you could share that with
Karen,
us.
Karen, if you want to reach back out, let us know where you are or just what the church is.
Yeah.
Thanks for your knowledge and for having such great guests that helped me to continue down the correct path as to who these, quote, visitors actually are.
Yes.
I now have no doubt, and it just all makes sense. Thank you. So great comment.
Amazing comment. Yeah. Amazing facts that she brought out, that to come from an area of being into UFOs, as she said, but not knowing how to make sense of it until she saw it through the lens of Scripture. That gives so much validation to why we do what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. And because if you are into UFOs and aliens, and by the saying you're into it, I mean you fully believe in it, right?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people can be led down a path of going, well, maybe Christianity's just a story.
Right.
And these are the real, the Anunnaki, right? That's the truth.
Exactly.
Right? But you need to actually look at it from a biblical lens, like Karen just mentioned, and see where they are in the Scripture. So
I completely agree. Well, thank you so much, Karen. And Brian, for the testimonials, always, we appreciate it and want our seekers to know that it's that kind of impact that you're having by supporting us. So, John, let's dive into America in prophecy.
Okay.
Because, you know, many nations are mentioned in the scriptures, mm-hmm. and several of them are included in end times prophecies. But is there any reference in the Bible to America in prophecy? And that's really what people are looking for. What's going to become of America?
Yeah.
And I suspect it's more important to Americans, but other countries would be curious too. And maybe the same could be said of somebody in the UK or France or Germany or China or Russia. Mm-hmm. Where are they mentioned in the scriptures?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So while we're focusing our attention on America, some of this could apply to other nations that are not named in the Bible, because America is not found in the Bible as a name, you know. I know there are some people that maybe think Mystery Babylon is describing literally America or at the least Washington, D.C. or New York City or something like that. I don't believe that's true, but they're certainly part of the harlot system.
Sure.
Which all nations are. And we saw that when we discussed not only the Anunnaki in the scriptures, but we've talked about occult Washington, D.C., and we know that there's a financial religious system of this world called the Mystery of Iniquity, and we know that our leaders are part of it just like any other nation. And by the way, that includes modern Israel. You know, I know that offends some Christians, but you cannot look at Israel and not give them the same scrutiny as you would America. The whole idea of them being God's people is absolutely true, 100%. I do not believe in replacement theology, never have. But at the same time, the people of Israel that are going to be God's people are yet to be revealed.
Okay.
In my opinion, there needs to be some event that's going to occur before they will acknowledge their offense and seek his face.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they're a secular nation just like any other. And probably more run by Kabbalah than they are the law.
With the current world events, right? The Israel and with the conflict that's going on in Gaza then. I have been going back and forth on this. Should we be blessing Israel? Should we be praying for Israel? Should we be praying for what's happening to the people in Gaza? I've come to the resolution. You can tell me if I'm wrong, because I've been wrong many times, is that God's will is going to be done, and that you should just pray that God's will is completed there, not picking sides.
I completely agree.
Okay, good.
Because you don't have enough information that's truth to know which side to pick.
Exactly. That's how I'm torn on the whole thing.
And if you're going to say, well, Israel's God's people, you don't know that.
Yeah.
You may think Israel in 1948 became a nation and that was God's hand in it, but you dig into the history of that and you may find that what happened to cause that to come into place and what's going on now, if God's hand was in that, I would question his interaction there. I would seriously question his judgment, and I'm not going to do that because he's the Lord.
Yeah.
But I don't think that what happened in all those circumstances is necessarily the miracle of God. Now, that being said, he is able to make all things work together for good.
Yes.
So I know that though Satan may have plans and he could be behind this action or that action, the Lord can turn it around. But I think we have yet to see who is going to be the true Israel of God. And quite frankly, if they were known today, Satan would target them to destroy them. He's targeting saints through persecution and tribulation, but it's not the same. He knows there's a specific promise and purpose of God with Israel, and there's a land grant promise, and he wants that land. So I suspect his attention is more focused on that than it is on all the saints. Although he's certainly trying to prevent the truth of the gospel from being spread. And therefore, he does attack and try to hinder the gospel. But we're going to move on to looking about American prophecy and taking a look to see, is it specifically mentioned in the scriptures or is it referred to by some other name?
Okay.
So we'll start in Psalm 9, which says in verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. So the word America does not occur in the Bible.
Yeah.
Neither does France or England or China, for that matter. However, we know one thing is true about all nations that forget God. They're going to be turned into hell.
Okay.
And he doesn't mean turned into hell like God's going to turn them into something from one thing to another. Turned in means you're going to be directed to go here, to hell.
Yeah.
So the nations are going into hell when they die and when the Lord comes back to destroy them because a rebellion is coming. I do not see America as exempt from that rebellion. They're going to be a part of it. The kingdom of the Antichrist is going to include America as well as all nations.
You look at the way that the America is going right now. I mean, it's so obvious to me that
to me too.
As a country, we've turned away from God.
Yeah.
In a big way.
And Europe did years ago, decades ago, and here we are following in their footsteps.
And then a lot of people say, well, this is a nation that was founded as a Christian nation, you know, one nation under God. I don't even know that that statement is true.
I don't know that it was ever true.
It seems to me that this nation was founded by Masons.
Yeah.
And I don't know what their intention was when they founded it, but it doesn't appear to be a Christian nation from the beginning.
Well, again, it comes back to the lies we were told that they called history. You know, I can recall being at political events where certain believers that I knew, they would open the event with, say, the Pledge of Allegiance. And for them, it was a big deal to put the hand on the heart and say the words, one nation under God, indivisible. But they said it this way, one nation under God. Like removing the comma made them more spiritual than others. The comma being one nation, comma, under God, comma, indivisible with liberty and justice. And for them, it was sort of like, this is my stand on the truth that God is the God of, he's the Christian God of America. And it's like, no, he's not. He's the God of creation. He is the God and Father, Abba, of all believers. But was he instrumental and involved in the founding of a nation that has so much Masonic symbolism, so much corruption, so much satanic influence and occult influence that it's undeniable? And rather, wasn't he working through his saints in spite of all that to promote the truth
of the
gospel?
That's an interesting take on it, because I guarantee you most people don't feel that way, that they're kind of like, no, we're a Christian nation.
Oh, yeah.
We've fallen into some weird stuff, and it's like, nah, actually, I don't even know. I don't think that we were a Christian nation from the beginning. Like you said, Masonic roots, occult symbolism all through the capital city.
Yeah, there's a very strong homeschool curricula-based Presbyterian Calvinist group out there led by a man named David Barton, and I mean him no disrespect at all. I'm sure he's a brother in Christ, but very adamant about all our founders were honest, sincere, devout Christian men, and they teach a very glossed over history.
I was going to say, that sounds like a real good, feel-good message about America.
Well, these are also people that honestly believe that it is our job to establish the kingdom of God on the earth, that it's a physical kingdom by the saints, instead of acknowledging that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to pour his wrath out, and he will bring the kingdom with him. So I think it's a misunderstanding of Scripture, with all due respect. But we're going to look at an event, John, that you and I have talked about at more length in the past, about the Battle of Gog and Magog.
Okay.
In Ezekiel 38, verse 1, just to give a background or a context, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and will bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, and all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer, and all his bands, the house of Togarma of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them." Now this, to me, is going to be the battle that takes place that's going to cause Israel to be in an affliction that will make them seek the Lord. It's a coalition of nations that are going to attack Israel, led by a satanic entity known as Gog. And we don't really know who Gog is. A lot of people want to say, because it says the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, chief is the word rush in Hebrew and Rush, and they want to say it's Russia. That's a misunderstanding of the language. Mm-hmm. I think that's just silly to even accuse Russia of all that. They may be involved. They could be one of these. I don't care. But to say Gog is Russia is just ridiculous. It is some sort of satanic entity. As Ryan Peterson points out in his books, The Judgment of the Nephilim and The Final Nephilim, it is the same entity that's in the bottomless pit right now, Apollyon.
Wow.
That has it will be the Antichrist too. So he's not the Antichrist here as Gog, but he is going to lead this coalition of nations against Israel. America is not named among these. In any of these right here. This is not the final battle of Armageddon, as they call it. But you see some names that are familiar. Persia, today would we call that Iran. Mm-hmm. Of course, all you ever hear is Israel complaining about Iran all the time. You know, Ethiopia, we know. Libya, we know. And incidentally, those countries were discussed when we talked about the Anunnaki and Ethiopia being Kush, perhaps. Libya being Put, Mizraim being Egypt, that kind of thing. Gomer, incidentally, would have more to do with Turkey.
Okay.
As well as Togarma and that section. So I'm more inclined to think that the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, which were sons of Japheth from Noah, grandchildren of Noah, and hence they were Japhethites, not Semitic people. They are probably those that settled in the region of either northwest Turkey or Armenia or Georgia, somewhere immediately north of Israel and Lebanon and Syria.
Okay.
It could include Syria for all I know. But it doesn't matter. Whoever they are, they're going to be gathered together as a confederacy. And it's unlikely that the land of Magog is the United States. I don't think that is. We're not north of Israel. It's all based upon the contiguous nations of Israel.
But this is almost like an old, when you say that Gog is Russia, right? Mm-hmm. And that Magog could have been the United States. That's almost like the old Cold War thing. Like, oh, Russia and the United States are going to go at it. And that's the final battle of Armageddon. Is that where that comes from?
I think most of that came from Hal Lindsey's book, The Late Great Planet Earth. And he thinks that Russia, of course, that was during the Cold War, like you said.
Yeah.
So everything was Russia, Russia. Today it's Russia, Russia, but it's from a different perspective. Yeah, I just think it's a distraction. I don't love or care about Russia or Putin or any of that stuff. It doesn't make any difference to me. They're going to be as inconsequential as America, as far as I'm concerned. Because notice these are all like on horseback with swords. That's either true or it's a type of something, but it could be that we're reduced to fighting with swords again, and maybe a nuclear war or a third world war will precede this. And we're going to discuss that in a minute.
Is there anything to, or am I just, I just noticed that it says, and put hooks into thy jaws. And we just read that last week about Leviathan.
Yes. Yeah. Interesting connection you made there, which tells you that this is a spiritual entity led by Satan.
Yeah.
Gog, which is what Ryan contends. And I agree with him about that. So I think it's more likely that the Meshech and Tubal and the land of Magog is somewhere in the Caucasus mountain region of the world. And I don't see that Russia or China or America even has to be involved. The countries that are named, like Ethiopia, Persia, Libya, and Turkey, are all part of that region. You know, you start getting into Europe and Russia and China, you're getting so far away from there. And if you're moving on horseback, that's a long journey.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see if that's true. But what's interesting is, and this is another thing we learned from Ryan, Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39 are actually chronologically in reverse order.
Okay.
39 actually happens first.
Okay.
And 38 happens at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ. But it's still describing the same entity and the same nations that are going to be involved in an attack that precedes the tribulation. And later, an attack that ends the thousand-year reign of Christ.
Okay.
When we back up to 39, we're dealing with the actual attack that's going to happen in the very near future, which will precipitate Israel from making their confession. Okay. Cause them to make their confession, and God will defend them and deliver them. And here's the deliverance. He says in verse 6 of Ezekiel 39, And I will send a fire on Magog and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name any more. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. And in fact, it even says that from that day forward and on, Israel will know that God is their God and they are his people. So it hasn't happened yet, which is why I reject the whole idea of 1948 and May 15th and all that stuff.
Okay.
It may have something to do with it and the setting the stage for the resurgence of Israel, but it's not the promise of fulfillment of prophecy. But this prophecy is interesting because, like I said, while Ezekiel 38 references the battle in Revelation 20 at the end of the thousand years, chapter 39 occurs before the time of Jacob's trouble, and it includes the same group of nations.
Okay.
So they're currently Israel's neighbors, geographically, and God will defeat this coalition of nations and turn them back. We can see that's happening here when he says, I'll send a fire on Magog. But he also said he would send fire upon them that dwell carelessly in the isles. Now, what does that mean? And I will send fire on Magog, let's say it is the Caucasus mountain region of the country, and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles. Okay, so we got to look up the word carelessly, first of all. The isles is another reference to the nations. Okay. Or the Gentiles, if you want.
Okay.
So it doesn't necessarily mean it's just like the islands of Fiji and, you know, the South Pacific or something. It's talking about all the nations not included in the area of Israel.
Okay.
Carelessly, you think, and like I did when I first read it, oh, you didn't look both ways before you crossed the street.
Mm-hmm.
You were careless, you know. But it means without a care. And it's because of you're so secure and you're so safe. You don't have any concerns, no fear.
Yeah.
So it's the Hebrew word betach, and it means security and safety.
Okay.
So who dwells securely and safely? What nations dwell so safe that they have a care in the world?
I think that is a pretty good description of the United States.
I think so, too.
We don't even know what's going on in the other parts of the world half the time.
We have no idea, and we're not told the truth anyway.
Yeah.
And our media lies, so it's all propaganda. But we are like, you know, from sea to shining sea, we've got two oceans between us and everybody else. We got friendly neighbors in Canada and Mexico, ostensibly. Mm-hmm. We've got a drug cartel down there that's destroying us, but... And we've got an immigration problem that's destroying
us. Our biggest fear is that the power grid goes down for 2 days and we don't have air conditioning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and by the way, I'm convinced the MLB is evil.
Oh, man, don't tell me that. It's not the only sport I watch anymore.
Even if you join the MLB app to watch all the games you want and pay the big money, they still black out the Astros and the Rangers.
That happened.
And the Braves.
That recently happened to me, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know that you want to watch the Astros or the Rangers this year. They both stink.
They do. The Yankees, the Dodgers, the Phillies, the Guardians are eating their lunch.
Yeah. I have faith in the Rangers to come back, though. They're going to bounce back.
I'm a baseball fan. I want the Rangers to bounce back. I really do. I'm rooting for them. They got a good team. They just need to get it together.
Yeah.
Can't quite figure out.
Well, I gave up hope last year, and how did that work out?
You know, I guess we're being triggered because of America. Baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet, right? Anyway, back to the subject.
Okay.
Is it possible that when he says, I will send a fire on Magog and them that dwell carelessly in the isles, this could possibly include America and a nuclear war? Now, I don't know that it is. It doesn't have to be a nuclear war, but that's what comes to mind. Or directed energy weapons.
Yeah.
Like Maui.
Yeah.
And perhaps it's going to begin being used against the American population and maybe in Europe too.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, and these are the nations that dwell securely.
But either way, it would be something, some type of fire or something like that, that would remove America from being part of these enemies surrounding Israel, right?
I'm thinking they're going to be neutralized.
She's on her own at this point, right?
Well, if the nations that forget God are going to be turned into hell, then God's saying, look, you've had your opportunity to repent and to turn, and you won't. So You know, when the Lord deals with Israel again and this all happens, a lot of dynamics are going to change because the rapture of the church is going to take place.
Yeah.
And the body of Christ is going to leave this world and the gospel of grace will go with it. And God's not dealing with nations on the basis of grace anymore. He's going to deal with Israel again on the basis of the time of Jacob's trouble. The gospel being preached at that time is to them. And for nations to be able to get into the kingdom, they're going to have to bless the saints of God. You know, I was hungry and you gave me meat, thirsty and you gave me drink. Yeah. So, and then ultimately when that stops being preached, it's going to be the everlasting gospel in Revelation 14. And the only thing that's going to be preached is by an angel flying in heaven saying, fear God and don't take the mark of the beast. So America will be irrelevant at that point, as far as I'm concerned, which they're quickly growing that way now.
Yeah. That sounds like a really bad time.
It's going to be a bad time. And so while America is not Babylon, literally, she is part of that same system, the mystery of iniquity, like we said earlier. So does she dwell securely in her hubris and pride as part of the Babylonian religious and financial system? Absolutely, she does. And I think we see evidence of that in Isaiah 47. Look in verse 1. Now, it's talking about Babylon, but remember, Babylon is mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots.
Yeah.
So there she has many harlots, daughters. So come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. By the way, Isaiah 47, 1. Sit on the ground, there is no throne. O daughter of the Chaldeans, Samaria, the Anunnaki, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks and make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. And maybe that's a reflection of America's going to be exposed to be the evil fraud they are, of the sex trafficking and the pedophilia and the corruption in government.
Wow.
You know, and not just America.
Yeah.
As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name. Oh, excuse me, I missed a verse. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance and will not meet thee as a man. Well, this is going to happen like from a distance, maybe that fire that he sends.
Yeah.
Hi, if you're enjoying this podcast, please consider being a full-time subscriber. We are going to use these funds to expand the message and get the word out about what's in the Bible that the world doesn't want you to know about.
That's right, John. We appreciate you listening, but we'd love it if you'd subscribe. That way we can reach more people with the time we have left. So enjoy the rest of the podcast, but think about subscribing if the Lord puts it on your heart.
To subscribe, just go to BibleMysteries.Supercast.com.
Thanks. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans. Now remember, we're talking about Babylon, the daughter of the Chaldeans. But like I mentioned my friend Bob Black in the book he wrote, Foretelling Jacob's Trouble, he's talking about that entire system of trafficking, the religious system of the world that the world is under. It's a financial system. So he says, it's a financial religious system, excuse me. Sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. And now he's talking about Israel when he was angry and he allowed them to be captured by Nebuchadnezzar. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. And thou saidst, I will be a lady forever. And I think of like, again, the symbolism is there, liberty, Statue of Liberty, a lady forever. So that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. Look at the arrogance.
Wow.
I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. And that, to me, is like the attitude of the neocons, who basically run the nations. They're part of the satanic elites. You familiar with the term neocon?
I have heard it several times. I don't know the meaning of it.
It's short for new conservatives.
Okay.
And they're not conservative at all. They're Trotskyites or former communists.
Okay.
Think William Kristol and Max Boot.
Okay.
And all these idiots who've been wrong about every policy decision that's ever been made by them, if we invade Iraq, we'll come out as victorious. They'll love us. You know, Libya, whatever. I mean, these guys have a track record of being wrong more times than anyone else.
Okay.
And yet they still run American foreign policy, including the current idiots in the Biden administration. So they are satanic, absolutely 100% satanic people. And but they're so arrogant, they think that they know better than you. And they that's why they can run NATO and all this stuff. Their policy decisions run NATO. So he says, "Thou said, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am and none else beside me." You can apply this to any NATO country. "I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments." Notice the witchcraft reference. "For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me." And now we're talking about the dark state, you know, the deep state that's running things. "Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am and none else beside me." Now, don't misunderstand me, folks. I'm not saying America is Babylon.
Yeah.
Babylon is Babylon, but it's the system she's under.
Okay.
She's a part of that system. "Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. Thou hast said in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth. And mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Stand now with thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be, thou shalt be able to profit. If so be, thou mayest prevail." So God is saying, so when you get hit by me, and when my wrath is poured out upon you, which could be the fire raining down.
Yeah.
He says, "Try to use your wickedness and your sorceries," which I think has to do with the deep underground military bases and their technology, their demonic technology.
Wow.
The blood covenant they're under. Yeah. Because they're going to think that they can stop this, and they're not going to be able to. So he's taunting them. "See if your things. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it." The idea being, when he's done, it's going to be nothing but ashes.
Wow.
"Thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth. They shall wander everyone to his quarter. None shall save thee." And we get back to that whole thing about the merchants and all. Now, again, this is really fulfilled ultimately in Jerusalem. Mystery Babylon,
okay,
apostate Jerusalem. But does America dwell securely in her hubris as a part of the Babylonian religious and financial system? Absolutely, yes. I'm convinced she does. And we see it all the time. Like you said, even in the political news right now, you see America declining farther and farther into wickedness.
Every day it's something new.
Yeah.
Every day it's something worse. It is just
that old expression about going to hell in a hand cart or something.
Hand basket.
Yeah. I mean, it's like they don't want to wait in line.
Yeah.
Can't get there fast enough.
I mean, what we see today in the news, I never thought I'd see.
Me too.
I mean, just the stuff that you see in our school systems blows my mind.
I think there's a part of me that felt like the rapture would have occurred before we would be seeing these things.
Yeah.
And I think it is going to occur before it gets into the thick of it. But things are going to get pretty bad. Because Paul said, in the latter days, perilous times shall come.
Yeah.
I do think, though, that a lot of saints have gone on to be with the Lord through natural death recently in a way that makes me think he's... And these are people that I would say have been faithful believers that probably hung way too much belief on America the Beautiful. You know, God was blessing this nation. God bless America. sea to shining sea kind of thing. And they served their country as veterans. They participated in the political process, believing with all their heart that if we could just elect good Christian, godly men and women into office, we could turn the ship around and things like that.
Yeah.
Even though that's in defiance of what the scripture says, that the perilous times to come, things, men will wax worse and worse, all that's happening. I think God in his mercy took them away in their age, in their older age, to spare them from seeing the sorrow in the same way maybe that he might have taken out all the disciples before they lived to see the destruction of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
With possible exception of a few, like maybe John.
Yeah.
You know, if he did live long enough to write the Revelation after 70 AD. Again, we don't know.
That's an interesting thought.
Yeah. I'm just thinking that, that there could be some individuals, you know. My father passed away this year, last year rather, excuse me. I wouldn't call him an avid believer. He was a believer, but he wasn't a person that demonstrated a faith like others that I know.
Yeah.
But he was very sincere and I would say very patriotic. And there's a part of me that says, I'm glad he's gone to not see how bad things are getting, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think that about almost a whole that whole generation of the...
The great generation, the World War II people.
Exactly, yeah. That generation, which, you know, I think it probably pains them at their heart more than any of our generations, whether it be my parents. And I'm talking about what would be my grandparents.
But mine too, yeah.
Right. That it would pain them if they were still around to see kids being taught the stuff that they're being taught in our school system.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to throw an example out there. Drag queens reading to kindergartners.
Oh, yeah.
This is absolute insanity.
It is insane. And even I think Tucker Carlson is saying this is not really left versus right anymore. It's sane against insane.
Yeah.
Evil.
It's good versus evil.
Yeah, exactly.
But to normalize that, just to think about that, like my grandfather would have been, if I would have told him 30 years ago that there's a possibility that my grandkids may be getting read stories in kindergarten by a man dressed up as a woman, he'd be like, what are you talking about? That is the craziest thing I've ever heard. That's the new normal.
Yeah.
Right? That's just nuts.
It is nuts. So this idea about carelessly, which again is securely with like an arrogance, nobody can hurt me. It's presented again in the book of Zephaniah chapter 2. In verse 15, we read, this is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly, that said in her heart, I am and there is none beside me. How has she become a desolation? And I quite frankly think he's talking about apostate Jerusalem here.
Okay.
This is to bring it again, like I said, to the culmination of the mystery of iniquity. It'll, after all these centuries from the Anunnaki at Babel till apostate Jerusalem, the system has been in place. The commerce, the trafficking, the religion, all of that. So it culminates in this city, apostate Jerusalem. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly, that said in her heart, I am and there is none beside me. How is she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down in? Everyone that passeth by her shall hiss and wag his hand. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city, tying it back to Babylon. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to God, to her God, and that's because they're going to take the mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
Her princes within her are roaring lions. Remember talking about the lion-like men? Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They've done violence to the law. And I think you could apply this to America today in a similar way. You know, when it appears that all the nations are going to join in to become rich through her corrupt system, and they have.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that going on now. That's why things don't make any sense. You know, the super rich, the elites, whatever you want to call them, the Luciferians. You know, there's a thing about James saying, woe to you, rich men, weep and howl for the miseries that are going to come upon you. And he can't be talking about just a person that has a good bit of money. There's something about this kind of rich that's evil. like a Bill Gates level rich, like and the things they do to harm people. And the picture is of like the rich man and Lazarus in, in Luke 16. Here's the rich man, and it says, all it says, he fared sumptuously every day. So he had a ton of money. But beggar laid at his gate, the beggar, Lazarus the beggar, laid at his gate full of sores, and the dogs licked his wounds. He didn't even bother to help him. He had plenty, and he could have put him in the hospital or whatever, treated his wounds and fed him. He didn't care. So that kind of rich carries with it this searing of the conscience, like there's no... It's satanic. It's got to be. It's got to be beyond just because there's plenty of people that have a good bit of money that tithe and support and give and you know what I mean? They do the good things. They do the right things. This is another level. In Revelation 16, notice verse 17, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. Can you imagine? There's been some bad earthquakes.
Yeah.
This one's going to be worse. And here's what happens to it. And the great city was divided into three parts. And we're talking about Jerusalem, which is Mystery Babylon. And the cities of the nations fell. This earthquake is so bad. Not only does Jerusalem get divided into three parts, but the cities of the nations are going to fall. Like London, Munich, Geneva, you know, New York, LA.
That's a lot of shaking.
Dallas, yeah. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. It's like all the little harlots, all the whole system is going to come in remembrance. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. That's a serious earthquake. You would imagine if the islands are fleeing away, it's because of tsunamis. You know, they just get engulfed, and the mountains are being destroyed because they just crumble. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, which is like 100 pounds. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. So when Mystery Babylon, apostate Jerusalem, falls, so do the cities of the nations that have participated in her sins. That's America in prophecy, folks. That's her along with all the other nations. What may be left of America after the fire from God will surely be a part of this destruction. And like I said, we don't know if that fire from God was a nuclear war or a directed energy weapon or if just God pours down fire.
Nuclear war sounds like the most likely alternative or possibility, rather.
Well, consider also that America has over 1,500 satellites in orbit. The next closest nation that has that many is something like 250, and it might be Russia.
Okay.
And then China with 152 or something. 1,500. They're all number 10 to 1.
Yeah.
And how many of those are like DARPA manipulated things with directed energy weapons and things? I mean, they could literally be turned, like, let's say, Russian hackers or a cyber attack from Iran or something figures out a way to bust into them and direct those weapons on America.
That's pretty scary.
It's a horrifying thought.
Yeah.
That could be worse than a nuclear war.
Yeah.
You know, with a nuclear war, the population would be eliminated.
Yeah.
If not immediately, very quickly thereafter through radiation. But with the directed energy weapons, you think about Lahaina in Hawaii, the buildings all burned up, but the people are homeless, and they can't get back in there. This was all orchestrated by some satanic entities in government to take that land away for some purpose they have. So, I mean, those people, that was their property, and now they're homeless, and they're suffering. Death almost would have been preferred to have to deal with the repercussions of what's going on, especially if it's a nationwide burning. You know, I don't know. Notice, again, the verse we keep referencing to kind of bring this to a close, Revelation 17, Verse 3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Back to Leviathan again.
Yeah.
And the spirit was arrayed in the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, all symbols of wealth, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. So her name is really Mystery, comma, Babylon the Great, comma, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So it's a system.
Okay.
But like I said, culminating in apostate Jerusalem. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And of course, you know, this is the system that's persecuted the believers in Christ for 2,000 years, but particularly out of Jerusalem. So she's the mother of harlots. She has many daughters throughout the earth. All the nations are part of the satanic, idolatrous system. And of course, we've discussed these passages at length, so I'm going to kind of breeze through them quickly. Isaiah 13. I'll just read a couple of verses in verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, for he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. And as you scroll down, it says, he's coming to shake the heavens, and the earth will remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. That kind of matches that earthquake we just read about.
Yeah.
So I include America with all the nations in, that the Lord will punish for their iniquity. And we're certainly, I think, in many ways, the leaders of the iniquity.
Yeah.
More wars, more death has been created by America than any other, I would say.
Always in a war.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we think, oh, we've done so much good. We spread democracy. No, you haven't.
Yeah, I think that's part of the propaganda that we've been fed our entire lives.
I agree.
That now we're starting to see through all that.
I agree.
I think it's the war machine. The war machine just keeps rolling. Well, there industrial-military complex.
Yeah, there was a really interesting interview with a guy, and I can't think of his name. It was on Russell Brand's show.
Okay.
And, you know, Russell Brand's hard to watch for me because he talks so fast.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you that complain that I talk too fast, I noted and I'm working on it. But let me tell you, Russell Brand is, man, mile a minute. But he packs a lot of information in.
Uh-huh.
And he recently interviewed a guy that knew something about how all of the pharmaceutical industry today can be traced back to the British East India Company in the 1600s and the opium trade, and it's basically an extension of that today.
Huh.
And so we're back to that whole thing about trafficking and commerce and that system. Yeah. Drugs have been the commerce and fuel of the satanic elites in the system. It really has. So I do believe that they're a part of it. America is part of it. And that the arrogance of our so-called leaders will be judged by the Lord when he returns.
Hmm. Yeah.
In every nation. And then finally, the last few things, we talk about Isaiah 24 a lot, where he says he's going to punish the host of the high ones that are on high and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And that's the last part of Isaiah 24, verse 21. You know, whether America even exists as a superpower following the Lord's deliverance of Israel from Gog remains to be seen. If she does exist, it's still going to be led by the same high ones who lead her now, the princes of this world, the fallen angels.
Yeah.
And the satanic elites who are anti-God and anti-Christ, you know, they're human proxies. So there's a reason why he put that statement in there. The Lord shall punish the host, the army, of the high ones that are on high, and I believe that's angels, and the kings of the earth upon the earth, and I believe that's the satanic elites.
Yeah.
The oligarchs, the politicians, the prime ministers and presidents and cabinet members and whatever. So those same men that we just described are going to be amongst all men who sees the Lord coming back. And this is, you know, they may be arrogant now, dwelling carelessly in America.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're going to be changing their tune according to Revelation 6, verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And I think the stars of heaven there has to do with angels.
Hmm, yeah.
You know, like an invasion.
Oh, wow.
And and I mean the fallen angels there, you know. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And that kind of gets back to that thing we discussed not too long ago about the holographic universe with L.A.
Yeah, with L.A.
Yeah. Is it really, do we look out and see stars that are billions and billions of years away, like Carl Sagan says? Or is it really an illusion of what's a curtain, as it were, hiding the spiritual realm?
That's kind of a crazy thought to me, but, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, we got the Hubble and all that stuff. We talked about this, but maybe God designed it so we think we see one thing, but it's not real.
Hmm.
You know, it's a curtain. He's going to roll the heavens as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island removed out of their places. Now, here it is. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? That's everyone, folks.
Mm-hmm.
That includes America. All of these great and rich men will shake in fear when they see the Lord Jesus Christ returning with wrath. And then ultimately, the nations are going to be gathered together by the Antichrist. I suspect including America.
Yeah.
And this is that battle people call the Battle of Armageddon. They actually gather at Armageddon, but they attack Jerusalem.
Okay.
And they are going to war against the Lord. So if America still exists and they're not destroyed in a nuclear war, mm-hmm. she'll be among them. Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded a trumpet, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. This is really the end. And he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come. In other words, they don't repent from this. They just get worse.
Mm-hmm.
And the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give reward unto the servants, thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldst destroy them which destroy the earth. And boy, if that's not what's happening with America and the other nations, destroying the earth.
Yeah.
I don't know what is. And I'm not talking about climate change. I'm talking about the wars, like you said,
mm-hmm.
and all the corruption. Then in Revelation 16, there's these unclean spirits come out like frogs of the mouth of the dragon and the false prophet and the beast, and they go to gather. In the verse 14 of Revelation 16 says, for they are the spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. So the nations are going to gather at Megiddo to attack Jerusalem. And God even has these devil spirits that, you know, they think they're doing it, but he's controlling them
mm-hmm.
to go gather the armies together. And we really see the battle portrayed in Joel 3. I do want to read this one at length because it's really good. Chapter 3, verse 1. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations. That's another passage that for me says they haven't been brought from captivity yet.
Yeah.
You know, because this hasn't happened yet. But he says, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they've scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they've cast lots for my people and have given a boy for an harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. I think that's a picture of the child sex trafficking
team. Yeah, definitely.
Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coasts of Palestine? Isn't it funny he mentions Tyre? We talked about that.
Yeah, King of Tyrus.
Anunnaki, yeah.
Hmm.
and all the coasts of Palestine. By the way, for those of you that say the Palestine never existed before, it's a construct, well, you don't believe your Bible. Palestine is right there.
Yeah.
And it's always been there. And this is Joel. This is a prophet. And anyway, will you render me a recompense? And if you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Because you've taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have you sold unto the Grecians, that you might remove them far from their border. Of course, we're talking about ancient prophecies that happened. Behold, I will raise them out of the place where you've sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabians, to a people far off. For the Lord hath spoken it. Proclaim you this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. And I'll tell you, it sounds to me like this final battle is not going to be with advanced technology.
It sounds spiritual.
It's spiritual, but it looks like it's like beating swords, plowshares into swords.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And spears.
I was just looking at the term, thither cause thy mighty ones to come down.
Oh, definitely, yeah. To come down.
Yeah.
Yeah, like from they're going to be cast out of heaven, you know. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, and the phrase grapes of wrath comes from this. For their wickedness is great. Now, here it is. Multitudes in the valley of decision, which is Megiddo, Jehoshaphat. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, because it's not holy as apostate, Babylon, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. So while the Antichrist thinks this is his doing, it is the Lord who gathers the nations against Jerusalem so he can destroy them in a moment. And Psalm 47 says he shall subdue the people under his feet and the nations under our feet when he returns. And there'll be ashes under the soles of the feet of the saints. And we'll be with him to return. So I don't see America as being on the side of God's Israel. Not the Israel of God.
Yeah.
They may be on the side of modern Israel, whoever they are. But in the future, I see Satan working to deceive the nation, this nation, America, just like all the others. I repeat over and over again, there's no political solution to what's about to happen. The only hope we have is in Christ. And he's not calling a nation. He's calling all men to salvation. You know, he'll call a nation Israel soon, but right now, there's little time left. So we need to believe on Jesus Christ to be saved today, because I don't think you're going to turn this country around.
I think you're right. But you can get the word out to other people.
That's the aim.
Yeah.
That's the aim, because I think some people like Tucker Carlson and all the guests he's having recently are waking up. People that viewed everything as a political solution are starting to go, there's something more sinister here going on.
Yeah.
And he's not out there openly advocating there's not a political solution, but boy, I'd like to be on his show to give him this perspective.
Yeah.
I'd like him to see it, because he could reach a wide audience. Who knows? Maybe the Lord will make something like that happen.
And it's not up to us to change these politicians in and out, because
no.
It's the will of God, right? So
absolutely. Yeah, the politicians really are the problem. They're not the solution.
Yeah.
Government never has been the solution.
Yeah.
You know, Christ is the solution. Well, thanks, John, on that note.
Yeah, thank you.
We appreciate you guys listening and watching as always, and continuing to support us. Spread the word. Let people know about us, BibleMysteriesPodcast.com. Till next time, be sure to look up, for our redemption draws near.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, please consider subscribing to our premium ad-free content at BibleMysteriesPodcast.com.